And next up on the teleconference is Ohio State center Billy Price. As one of the anchors on the Buckeyes' offensive line and the team captain, Price holds the school record with 53 consecutive starts and was a semifinalist for the Outland Trophy. He also joins JT Barrett and Iowa's Josie Jewell as finalists for this year's Senior Class Award. Billy, thanks for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments on the Big Ten Championship game, and then we'll open the call for questions from the media.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to have me a part of this teleconference. We're looking forward to a huge matchup with Wisconsin this weekend here in Indy. It's great to get back to the Big Ten Championship and represent the Big Ten East. Really looking forward to a tough matchup with their front seven versus the front seven on the offensive line, everybody else. And we're just looking forward to a tough matchup. So.
Thanks, Bill. Let's open up the call for questions from the media.
To ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Bill Rabinowitz with Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Billy. Can you just kind of describe the confidence you have in, and not just JT, but also Dwayne Haskins at this point?
I think it's huge. I think, again, to reiterate what I did on Saturday, Dwayne had a great week of preparation. We're very confident if he were to have to, step in to make the call. We're setting up a good game plan, for whatever quarterback that ends up playing, going to put ourselves in good positions, in a good position offensively, to take advantage of what we can. And, again, a huge amount of confidence with Dwayne.
And I don't know how much you've been able to study Wisconsin's defense just yet, but what are your impressions of the Badgers' defense?
Well, historically, again, they are always traditionally a top 10 defense in the Big Ten. Again, they are undefeated for that reason itself. They play great defense. They're very technically sound. Gap sound, they don't give up big plays. So, the front seven on their side of things is very tough. And again, when we played them last year, it made a very difficult matchup for us. Again, looking forward to getting after it. And, it's going to be a tough matchup, and that's exactly what we like in the Big Ten.
Thanks, Billy.
Our next question comes from the line of Tim Belike with Cleveland.com.
Billy, the second half of the season, it's been kind of a wild run. The Penn State win, the loss to Iowa, coming back, blowing out Michigan State, Michigan. Are you guys worried about kind of where you are emotionally about that, or do you feel like even though you've had a crazy last 5 weeks or so of the season that you guys are mentally and physically in a great state heading into this game against the Wisconsin team that's undefeated?
Yeah, I'd like to think that we're in a great place. I think the biggest thing right now, we're focused on the team itself, our team itself. We're not focused on anything else or any of the distractions that are going around college football right now. Our motto right now is making sure that we're laser focused. And, if you put all laser lights in on a certain topic, certain subject, and in this case, the Big Ten Championship and beating Wisconsin, good things happen. Guys have to continue to prepare this week. And, again, we're in a good place mentally, emotionally, physically. And we're looking forward to, getting after it this weekend.
Well, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Teddy Greenstein with Chicago Tribune.
And on this, man, what were the Sunday and Monday like after that Iowa game? Because obviously something clicked back for you guys in terms of how you played the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. Anytime a team loses, again, we had a lot of momentum going into that week, after coming off of the Penn State game. It's just tough again, but the senior leadership and the leadership that's going on in this team right now, the brotherhood, it's incredible. So I think to be able to bounce back, having that Sunday, Monday and realize, be accountable for the mistakes that we had, and we have to get better, from top to bottom, making sure that, the senior leadership continues to push and, the foundation of any great football team, the offensive, defensive line, got to continue to work, got to continue to step up. And that's, what we saw, after the Iowa game, that Sunday, Monday, got in, watched film, corrected it, made sure that those things don't happen again, and had another great week of preparation going into the following week.
And Saturday in Ann Arbor, are you always aware of who's back there, JT or Dwayne, or is it similar enough that they're almost interchangeable?
No, I mean, you are aware. I mean, because each quarterback has their different sounds to them. And there's a difference with, JT being a four-year, five-year, warrior who's been in this program and understanding what the defense is and the reads. And that's something that, again, as a player develops and matures throughout the program. And Dwayne will sound exactly like JT and, vice versa. There's a little bit of a difference. But, again, have 100% confidence in whoever's back there to make the right plays and distribute the ball where needed.
Coach Meyer said Dwayne is soft-spoken and he wants to change that. Have you talked to him about that as well?
Yeah, a little bit, just to make sure that he's loud. If we're going on a verbal cadence, to make sure that we can hear him. And then again, you know, continuing to develop his confidence, especially surrounding the offensive line as a veteran-ridden offensive line that we have here, to make sure that, you know, we continue to help him to develop and grow, and just to build the confidence in him that he's got the offense and he's got the control. So, you know, Dwayne's going to do. He's going to have another excellent week of preparation, and we'll get after it this Saturday.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Our next question comes from the line of Dan Murphy with ESPN.com.
Hey, Billy. I think someone mentioned this Saturday after the game, but kind of making the comparison to 3 years ago, going into that championship game with Wisconsin and Cardale coming in. What are your memories of that week of preparation and what that was like, kind of with a little bit of quarterback turnover in comparisons to this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there is an appropriate comparison just with the situations that are happening. But, you know, the following week after, you know, again, as we walked into the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin in 14, I mean, it was, again, very crisp practice, very physical, very, you know, very focused. And again, we're going with that same theme this year, laser focus, making sure you're accountable for your job, handling, making sure you're accountable, and that we execute at a high level. Because again, in order to win a football game and in order to win a championship in December here in the Big Ten, you have to be able to execute.
Was there any kind of extra rallying around Cardale at that point, or anything different that week of with everything going on?
I don't remember anything specifically. You know, Cardale spent a lot of time with Coach Herman, JT, Braxton, just everybody in the quarterback room itself, you know, surrounded Cardale, you know, continue to build his confidence. And I expect the same thing, you know, this week. Dwayne will get with Coach Day, JT will get with Coach Day, you know, whoever's going to end up playing, and I think we're going to be fine this weekend.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Daugherty with Hero Sports.
Hey, Billy, you just talked a little bit about that 2014 game in preparation. I'm curious, 3 years later, do you and the other older guys on the team think or talk much about that game?
Actually, no. I mean, again, it's a different team. It's a different year. So, you know, there's a situational comparison, but the teams are different, so there's not much reflection on, you know, hey, what did you hear? Again, the teams grow, and they continue to develop both offensively and defensively for both us and Wisconsin, so not much to compare with.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Tony Jerdeman with Ozone Communication.
Yeah, Billy, I just wanted to ask you what you thought of the way Meech and Michael Jordan played against Maurice Hurst on Saturday.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, again, you got to give a lot of credit to, you know, Maurice. I mean, he's a very talented defensive lineman. Again, very highly touted for, you know, the NFL draft coming up here as a number one interior defensive lineman. I thought they played well. Again, you go into a week, you prepare, you study film, you make sure you pick up on the little cues, and I thought that they played pretty well. You know, you can't completely neutralize and stop, you know, somebody who is a force just like Maurice is, you know. But, again, it's to make sure that you continue to build momentum throughout the game, continue to wear defensive linemen down, and not just Maurice, just as their front seven as a whole. And I think that that's something that Meech and Mike did very well. Again, you're going out there executing at a high level, and you can't ask for much more.
Thanks.
We have time for one final question from the media.
And our final question comes from the line of Tim May with Columbus Dispatch.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey, Billy, you know, obviously you guys have faith in Dwayne Haskins Jr., et cetera, but was there a moment in the game when that faith, whatever you want to call it, turned to confidence, a play he made or something where even you, you know, determined, hey, he's got it?
I mean, the fun thing about, you know, playing offensive line for, you know, some of the quarterbacks that I've been able to play with, I mean, you see everything in practice. So, you know, the throw that, you know, everybody making the pivotal play, you know, and Dwayne dropped back and dropped that however long pass to Austin Mack and made that catch. I mean, that's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal effort on both sides of those things, but I get to see those things in practice consistently. So I had no worries. You know, there wasn't any pivotal play or moment in the game that I knew that he was going to be okay. I get to see that every day in practice. So I get to see his preparation. I get to see him continue to build that confidence with both the, you know, the all the receivers and all the different combinations of linemen that we use here at Ohio State. So again, I'm looking forward to another thing, another great week from Dwayne and JT. And we're going to go in with some confidence this weekend.
Hey, thanks, man.
Absolutely.
Billy, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
All right, we'll see you then. Thank you.
And we'll next be joined by Ohio State wide receiver Terry McLaurin momentarily. Next in the teleconference is Ohio State wide receiver Terry McLaurin. McLaurin is another of the Buckeyes' captains this season and ranks third on the team with 26 catches for 342 yards and 5 touchdowns. Terry, thanks for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments about Saturday's game, and then we'll open the call for media questions.
Oh, definitely. I appreciate you guys for having me. We're looking to come into Indianapolis, and a big goal for the season was to get to Indy, and we have the opportunity to compete against a very good team, and we're looking forward to the challenge to try to get a Big Ten championship win.
Thanks, Terry. Let's open it up for questions from the media.
Mm-hmm.
To ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Nick Petrakowicz with the Blade.
Hi, Terry. Coach said that you were going to try and ignore the playoff rankings no matter what this week and just keep your focus on Wisconsin. So I was curious going into this week, how do you kind of put something out of mind that everyone else is going to be talking about?
Well, we're playing for a championship this week, and you come to Ohio State, you get to play for, you know, hopefully multiple championships, but Wisconsin deserves our utmost respect. They're undefeated right now. They're top-ranked defense, and this is going to be a challenge for us, so we can't look past that looking for future possibilities. We just got to focus on this week and trying to get this win.
And how confident are you that JT will be able to play?
I mean, whoever's out there, I feel confident that they're going to, you know, do the best job to get us to win the game. Obviously, I feel like the coaches are going to put whoever's healthiest and, you know, ready to play out there. So I know the competitor that JT is, and he's going to do whatever it takes to play in this game.
Thanks, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from the line of Bill Rabinowitz with Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Terry. Just could you address what it's like for you to be playing this championship game in your hometown, what that means to you?
You know, this it's obviously it, you can't just overlook that. You know, being from Indianapolis and growing up 15 minutes away from Lucas Oil, you know, it's very exciting. I'll be able to play in front of some of my closest family and friends. But the best part is the opportunity to win the championship there. And I was there as a freshman. I got to witness what happened and just the atmosphere of the Big Ten championship and, you know, championship football in general in November is very exciting. So it'll be – hopefully I can do the best I can to help us win.
Can you go against Denzel Ward every day in practice? What sets him apart?
He's such a smart corner. You know, he's very patient as well. And then he has blazing speed. So you almost got to strategically try to release or get open on him because he's just not going to give you anything. Every catch is going to be contested, and it's a battle every time you go against him. He's definitely made me a better receiver. I hope that I made him a better corner, but he's very elite in the technique that he uses and in his speed. He has unbelievable makeup speed, even if you get behind him a little bit.
Thanks, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from the line of Gene Wang with Washington Post.
Yeah, hi, Terry. How much did JT communicate to you and the team what went on pregame with him and the cameraman? And as a player, just in general, how aware are you of who's on the sideline? You know, how much room you have to move around in that area?
You know, he didn't really communicate. We saw that something had happened, but it was right – after the opening kickoff, so we're trying to get, you know, our first couple plays that we're going to run out on the field together. So, you know, we didn't really have much conversation. But obviously player safety should be number one. I mean, that's not my job to really police that. But, you know, it's unfortunate that happened. And but, you know, we didn't use that as an excuse. JT didn't use that as an excuse for his going into the game.
Thanks, Terry.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Tim May with Columbus Dispatch.
Thank you very much. Hey, Terry, I was just talking with Billy Price. I asked him this question a minute ago, but when was that moment? I mean, I know you guys all have faith and confidence in Dwayne Haskins Jr., but until a guy does it, you know, under duress, so to speak, I would think there's still a little question mark. But when was that moment in that game when you said, hey, this guy, you know, he's got what it takes, so to speak? I mean, that was he takes over, you guys are trailing, it's at Michigan. When was that moment for you when it kind of, you know, the light went on with you?
You know, I get to see him every day in practice, so I've always had confidence in him wherever he got his opportunity that he was going to shine. He's a very confident, poised quarterback, and he has confidence in his ability. And my job as a leader was just trying to make plays or make blocks whenever possible to help, you know, his outing. So there was not necessarily a particular play. I know the Austin Mack catch and the way they connected, that definitely boosted our momentum and his confidence most definitely. But I've always had confidence in Dwayne, you know, since I see the way he performs against our defense in practice.
So in other words, Saturday, no matter who's in there, either it's him or JT, the feeling on the offense will be the same. I mean, you know, I mean, what's the biggest difference from them, in your opinion, when one's at quarterback and the other, and then the other, if you follow my drift there, what are the differences?
I mean, I would definitely probably say a little bit of experience, not even a little bit, a lot of experience. But our coaches do a good job of preparing our quarterbacks. From, you know, Joe to Tate, all of them are very prepared because you never know when your number's going to be called. You know, their skill sets are a little different, but at the same time, they're both guys who are just looking to make plays to help us win. And when you got a quarterback and your leader just trying to do whatever they can to help you win, then I feel like whoever's in there, you're going to have a good chance to win.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
We have time for one final question from the media.
And our final question comes from the line of Tim Belike with Cleveland.com.
Terry, the last final weeks of the season have definitely been, you know, up and down with, you know, what you guys did against Penn State, then the loss to Iowa, bouncing back against Michigan State, then Saturday beating Michigan. Obviously, it's a lot to go through in 5 weeks leading up to a conference championship game, but how do you feel the guys are mentally? Are you worried about mental fatigue, or do you feel like everybody's ready to go for this one?
I mean, I feel like everybody's going to be ready to go. Obviously, you can't ignore it's been a long season, but we're at the good part now. We have a chance to win the championship, and you know, that's why you come here. So, you know, after the up-and-down season, we just really got back to the basics, focusing on the little things that make us a good football team. And, you know, I feel like we're going to be very prepared for this game because not only is it a championship, but you know, we got a lot of momentum going right now.
Terry, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
Hello?
Next up on the teleconference is Ohio State linebacker Chris Worley. As a team captain, Worley has been one of the leaders of the Buckeyes defense this season and is fourth on the team with 49 tackles, including 5 for loss. Chris, thanks for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments on Saturday's game, then we'll open the call for media questions.
Hello?
Yes, Chris,
Hello?
Can you give us a quick opening statement on Saturday's game, and then we'll take some questions from the media.
You know, as a team, fought well. The team up north was a great team, and we're looking forward to a great battle against Wisconsin.
Great, thanks. Let's open it up for questions from the media.
Our first question comes from the lines of Tim May with Columbus Dispatch.
Thank you very much. Hey, Chris, I don't even know if you've gotten to watch video yet of Wisconsin, but I'm sure you've seen them through the year so far, through the season. But what just jumps out at you about Hornibrook, their quarterback for starters? What does he do well, in your opinion?
You know, he runs the show. You know, they have a great rushing attack, great offensive line, great running back, and they run first, you know, offense. But you know, they have a guy at the quarterback position that can make every throw on the football field. Great tight ends, speed at receiver. So, you know, they're well rounded as an offense. They can do a lot of different things, but they're definitely run first. And when they do decide to pass, they have a quarterback that can do it all.
And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, their running back, obviously he's a freshman, just like J.K. Dobbins. Just what jumps out at you about him? And does he look like a freshman, or does he look like a more of a grizzled veteran out there when he's running?
Well, he definitely has the feel of like a veteran running back. You know, he's strong, powerful runner, and you know, once he get going a straight line, he could definitely make a lot of guys miss. So he doesn't run like a freshman, and it's going to be a task to get him on the ground.
Yeah, and were you aware of everything that was going on yesterday with Coach Schiano and, you know, the Tennessee situation? And I'm just wondering from a player's perspective, just what's your reaction when you see some things like that, I guess, you know, the way that all went down?
I actually did not see the whole situation until, like, I got home later on at night. And, you know, by that time,
yeah,
it was all over and things like that. And, you know, it's very unfortunate that he didn't get that great situation to be able to become a head coach. But at the end of the day, I'm happy that, you know, the Buckeyes get to keep him for now at least. And I'm more happy that he's staying with Ohio State right now. It's very unfortunate how that whole situation went down. You know, he got a lot of bad rep because of that, a lot of undeserved. And you know, I'm very fortunate that he's still here, but at the same time, it's very unfortunate that it had to happen that way.
Our next question comes from the line of Dan Murphy with ESPN.com.
Hey, Chris, I was going to ask you about Coach Schiano too, but maybe I'll just shift gears and say, ask you if what your memories were of the Ohio State-Wisconsin Conference Championship game from 3 years ago, and if it's a similar feel to you this week.
I wouldn't say it's a similar feel. There are some similarities, you know, with the whole, you know, Big Ten championship game, Ohio State, Wisconsin, you know, coming off a tight game against the team up north, and also, you know, just having things like the whole situation where the quarterback got hurt a week before in the team up north game, and there's some uncertainties about who's going to play quarterback. But the one thing that we'll stay the same is that we're going to go hard this week of practice, and you know, no matter who's going to be playing, everyone's going to be prepared. The coaches are going to do a great job getting everyone prepared, and you know, the players are going to be ready to play.
Has Coach Schiano addressed what his day was like yesterday for you guys yet, or do you expect him to mention anything here going into practice?
I don't think so. I don't think he will address anything moving forward. I didn't hear anything, but I'm pretty sure going into practice, everything's going to be about beat Wisconsin.
Our next question comes from the line of Dan Hope with 11 Warriors.
Yeah, Chris, just following up on Greg. I mean, you talked about how, you know, we got a lot of bad rep from what happened yesterday and that being undeserved. Just from you having him as your coach for the past 2 years, just what has he meant to you as a coach and a person, and what kind of impact has he made on you?
He's a hell of a guy. You know, he's a guy that, you know, knows his football, but, you know, he has a great football mind. And just to be able to pick from that for the past few years and, you know, all of the experience that he's had throughout the years, you know, he's coached at some big-time programs, and he's done a lot of cool things. And just to be able to get some of his experience and you know, pick at his brain a little bit, it's just been great for me.
And in terms of Wisconsin, their offensive line looks like it'll be the biggest offensive line that you've faced all year, and they're always reputed for having really good offensive lines. Is that something that stands out when you're preparing for them?
Not at all. You know, the size, that's not something that we consider. The thing that we do have to prepare, though, is that they have a great offensive line, and the thing that they do well is, you know, they finish their blocks. And, you know, this is definitely, like you said, this is definitely going to be the best offensive line that we've faced all year. And, you know, it couldn't have come at a better time, because at this time of the year, you know, everyone's been getting better as far as our defense, you know, each week. And, you know, at this time of the year, you don't want to just play teams that, you know, that don't permit a challenge against you. So, you know, this is going to be a great challenge for us as a team, as a defense. And, you know, it's going to be a battle inside and out. And at this time of the year, this is all you want.
Thanks, Chris.
Our next question comes from the line of Andy Evans with Columbus Wired.
Yeah, hey, Chris. you know, speaking of Alex Hornibrook, this Wisconsin offense, you know, they're a team that is right up there with your guys' offense and being pretty good on third down. And considering the rushing attack that they have and some of the dangerous things that Alex Hornibrook can present, you know, what's it going to take to keep this Wisconsin offense in some third and long situations? Because they're right up there in the country with being one of the best, you know, third down converting teams.
Honestly, we just have to play assignment sound football, first and second down. We definitely have to win the early downs, you know, and try to get them to some third and longs, hopefully. And when it do come down to third down, everyone has to do their job. You know, even last week against the team on North, you know, we gave up a lot of third downs that, you know, some of us didn't just focus in on the little things. And things like that is what makes great teams and, you know, helps teams out on third down. And you know, they're going to do a great job of executing their game plan. So once we get to third down, we have to do a great job of just doing the little things and staying aside and sound.
Yeah, and how important is controlling the line of scrimmage in that regard?
You know, third down, I mean, every down starts with the line of scrimmage. So you know, we have a great offensive line and, you know, we have a great defensive line. So that's going to be a battle within the game itself, as it always is. And, you know, getting that extra push up front will definitely help on third down.
All right. Thanks, man. Much appreciated.
We've got time for one final question from the media.
And our final question comes from the line of Nick Petrowitz with the Blade.
Hi, Chris. Coach said that he really didn't want you guys thinking or talking about the playoff at all. So going into this week, how do you kind of put that out of mind when it's something that everyone else is going to be talking about?
You know, throughout the whole season, every week it's always been, we're not worried about the playoffs. That's been our message because, honestly, you can't really worry about the playoffs. It's not in our control to worry about, you know, the committee and what they're thinking. Our control is to go each week and try to win games. And, you know, if we do that, we'll put ourselves in a good position. And, you know, so honestly, you know, although everyone wants to be in the college football playoffs, that hasn't been our focus. That hasn't been our message. Our message has been beat Wisconsin. Each week, you know, it's been win that game and do what you can to win that game that week. And at the end of it, when it's all said and done, you know, we'll put ourselves in a good position if we can do that. If we can win this week and, you know, just continue to worry about us, the Buckeyes, and things like that. Focusing on the little things, that'll put us in a good position, whatever comes down the road.
Chris, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis. And that completes the Big Ten Football Championship Game Players Teleconference. I'd like to thank the players and media for joining us today.